WTBQ.
And we're on. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Remember, we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. This show is sponsored by Miles Wealth Management out of Florida, New York, which I am a proud member of. The company's been there for almost 40 years, started by my father, and I am lucky enough to work with him each and every day. Just kind of a reminder for folks that are out there that today is the day to vote. One of the greatest liberties you have, and to making a change in life. If you don't like it, you can't do anything unless you vote for it. So don't sit there and do nothing, and don't complain if you don't get things don't go your way if you don't take action. So that's enough of that, jumping on that little stool there. But welcome again, folks. This is we're here. We're lucky enough to interview entrepreneurs of Orange County. It's why we started the show. And today, kind of got to tee this up for everybody. I have Brian Ensol from Orange County Distributors. He's been kind enough to join us this morning. And Brian is not a native of Warwick, New York, which is one of the unusual ones here. But since we started this show, born and raised in Fairfax, Virginia, attended James Madison University, was a marketing major in advertising. In 2000, began working in the insurance company, which he did that stint for about 11 years. So a good bit of experience in just working for another big, large company. Got married in 2008, has a lovely wife and two children, a 5 and a 1-year-old. And in July of 2011, while attending an unfortunate event, he got introduced to an opportunity where he actually decided to get into the lawn service franchise of all things. But that's not where he is today, but that's actually part of what you do today. And I'm kind of not going to take all the thunder here. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Appreciate it. So, Brian, why don't you give us a little background, what I haven't spoiled yet. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself and why you decided to come to Orange County and give it a go?
Like you said, I majored in marketing advertising at JMU, James Madison University. Then I, of course, went into the insurance industry. I was there for 11 years. And then, of course, after that, I decided to get into lawn care. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the normal progression for any guy.
Yeah. So like you said, my wife and I were at a funeral. That was July 2011. And the opportunity came up to basically buy the Scott's Lawn Service franchise of Orange County from her uncle. And we were really driving home back to Virginia, and I said, what if? And we talked about it and decided to approach it. And by Thanksgiving of that year, about 4 months later, we had purchased the franchise. And so I took it over right after the busy season of 2011. So I did have a few months in the off season.
Wow.
To kind of learn the business, meet the employees, learn how to run a business, learn how to take care of a lawn. I didn't have any experience other than my own lawn and I didn't have any experience with
machinery or anything like that.
Not really.
No?
I'm still learning that kind of stuff today, to be honest. Right after that, my wife and my one son at the time, they went back to Virginia and I stayed up in New York for a couple months. And that was pretty terrifying.
I bet.
It was pretty much by myself, only had family. No friends up here, and I was just trying to learn the business. And
you had to immerse yourself in it, obviously.
Yeah, I had to dive right in. I went out to a couple. I flew out to some training seminars and whatnot, and talked to people that were other franchise owners in the country, and they're they throw stuff at you, and you're like, I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
You didn't even understand the lingo, probably.
No,
right?
I did not understand the lingo. Understanding the lingo, nor did I understand how to run a business properly.
And it's a big difference from working for a company where everything's structured to figuring everything out by yourself, right?
Yeah, the corporate world, it's very political versus going into and you're the boss and making all the decisions. And, so there were some decisions I made that I have definitely been 100% correct. I don't know how I knew to make those decisions, but they worked out. And other ones did not work out so well. But
you learn from them.
Learn from them, definitely.
Or pay for them, one or the other.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both, right?
I think as far as Scott's Lawn Service is concerned, we are thriving. We have almost 800 customers in Orange County, and we have some good employees. So
really, 800?
Yeah.
That's a ton.
Yeah, we have a lot of customers up here.
Wow. How many employees do you have?
I have 3 full-time lawn technicians and a office assistant.
Okay.
And depending on the time of year, I'll also hire some part-timers.
Gotcha.
But, We are wrapping up our season. We have to, by law, finish by November 30th. New York law does not allow us to put anything down after November 30th. So we're kind of wrapping up, finishing up this season. And then, you know, we go into the off season, and I guess that...
That's an interesting thing. I didn't realize, well, I guess it's pretty hard not to realize that, you know, in that, that business is very seasonal as well.
Yeah.
So you got to pack a lot in a very short time period to, quite frankly, get you through the rest of the year.
Yeah, we have about seven, 8 months of hard work. You know, my guys do continue to work through December, through Christmas. We're fixing the vans that we use, fixing all of our equipment, making sure we're stocked up on inventory to start for the next year. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much after New Year's until our sales season starts, you know, mid-March, it's dead. And that's kind of how my other business got started.
Which we're going to touch on here in a second. Yeah. But you know, you bring up a very, and we could talk about a lot on this show, and for all of who's out listening out there. And, you know, it's not a simple, it wasn't obviously a simple decision to go, hey, listen, I'm going to leave my cushy, I know my paycheck's coming from, I got a wife. You had your son at that time, right?
We had our first son at the time.
Your first son. And so to take that leap of faith and go, holy cow, we're going to roll the dice here and give this a go, mm-hmm. With those kind of obligations. But it had to be, like you said, terrifying to make that decision.
Absolutely was terrifying. So we spent almost every penny we had just to buy the franchise. And then my wife was down in Virginia trying to sell her house. So you have to keep the house clean, which is not a very easy thing to do with a 1.5-year-old.
No way.
We were apart, other than, you know, Christmas and New Year's, but we were pretty much apart for that stretch, you know, FaceTiming at night or whatnot. It was certainly very scary for us. And, you know, yeah, we did leave cushy jobs. But I think we were looking for something more.
Okay.
Not different, just more. Like we both knew.
More out of life or more out of everything?
Everything.
Okay. You know,
Fairfax, Virginia is, Fairfax County is very, it's very fast paced. It's right outside DC.
Yep. Sure.
It's
grown up quite a bit actually, hasn't it?
Yes, it's grown up quite a bit. It's a very good place to live. It was a wonderful place to live, but it's very fast paced. And you can, you know.
Well, there's a lot of burnout factors down there. Yeah. A lot of burnout factors. I was down there in I think, prior to 1998.
Okay.
I was down in DC area and I watched it was growing up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Actually, like just outside DC, but a lot of fun, especially if you're young. It's a great place to be.
Yes. when, you know, another thing that's, you know, was tough about that place was the traffic, you know.
Outrageous. New York is bad.
Yeah, that down there was nothing. My wife would hour and a half to and from work for her. So you know, when you have kids, it kind of changes your priorities. So.
Yeah, so that had to be. And so there's another factor, obviously, mm-hmm. right? And you know, we talk about that, and we're going to talk about it. Continues. So a lot of that sounds to me like it was a quality of life issue that was definitely knocking on the door for you.
Yeah, we had a good quality of life. We did. We were doing well, but we, you know, like I said, we wanted something different.
Yeah.
Maybe something not different. We wanted more. We both felt like we could do a little bit more. So
you made the leap of faith.
Made a huge leap, and we had no guarantees it was going to work out. You know, she luckily did get a job, but we had no idea if I was going to succeed or not.
Right. But that, you know, we talk about this, and this is a huge piece of this, folks, that you're listening out there. And I think, you know, Brian's making it very clear here. You obviously had huge support in the background. Mm-hmm. Your wife was very much a supporter here. I don't know if you went through this, but I've gone through it with some of my own ventures. And, you know, you get those times where you're like doubting yourself or doubting this decision. But in the end, that's why you have that. Thank God you had that strong support in the back, obviously.
Yeah, there were definitely those many, many times where I was like, what did I get myself into?
What did I do?
I can't back out. You know, it's not only do we have all these customers we got to take care of, but I have these employees now that are looking to me. I came in and rocked the boat majorly, and we've moved, and we'd sold our house down in Virginia. So, yeah, there were plenty of times I wouldn't.
There's no going back.
Yeah, that was the thing, is there's no going back. It's not, you know.
You burn the boats, as they say, right?
It's almost like when you have a child. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm stuck. I can't give this child back.
Let's hold that thought, because we'll come back with that. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We'll be right back here with Brian Saul.
If If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio.
Tune in every Thursday at 12 noon for the latest in legal advice and tips.
We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor getting up early Sunday mornings to talk to you right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. 855-560-9900. The garage doors go up bright and early. See you then. WTBQ.
All right, we're back. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream. Thank you all for listening. My guest today is Brian Ensol with Scott's Lawn Care, but we're actually going to get into the fun stuff here in a second. When we left off, we were kind of talking about, we left off basically saying, hey, you know, he burned the boats. There's no going back to Virginia. We invested, put everything on black, basically, right?
Yeah, sure.
You
definitely.
Bet your life savings on this new venture, and there was no going back. And as anybody can imagine, that was a bit terrifying. But it's also one of those drivers, I'm assuming, and at least it was for me when I've any of the ventures I've done, that, listen, there's no alternative. Now I got to figure out how to make this happen.
Yeah, for sure. I really had no other choice. So, you know, one of the things that I think one of my best decisions I did was I changed the way Scott's Lawn Service, me and my employees interact with our customers. Basically, like I said, since I didn't really know lawns that well, and plus I'm not out at 700, 800 lawns, my technicians are.
Right.
Where before, the way that Scott's was run is the manager, the owner, was primarily talking to the customers. I've removed that. I don't talk to customers unless I really need to or want to. Reason being is because I wanted my employees, the ones that are out there on the lawn, I want them talking to the customers every, you know, once a week, once every other week. You know, I want them to know that we actually do care about their lawns and them, and they're the, I don't want to give them erroneous information when I haven't even seen their lawn. You know, if they,
right.
You know, they say they have a problem or something, it's like, I don't want to make something up over the phone. Oh, you might just have, you know, bugs or something like that, or whatever it might be. So that's one thing I did. And I think the employees like that now, cause it gives them a sense of empowerment.
Yeah. You just took the words out of my mouth. You empower them to be, you know, take control, but listen, be prideful in what you do. Right. You know what you're doing. You're not out there.
Definitely.
And that's a big difference too. I'm going to kind of touch on that. There's a huge piece in this, and what I've just kind of heard you say, and this is a very difficult thing for most business owners to get a hold of, is that you looked at this as a business, not a job.
Right.
Right. And what I'm guessing, and figure out, listen, I want to run the business of the business, not the job of doing the lawns.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's funny, some of the employees, when I first started working, they wanted me to come out there on the van and do some of the applications with them, which, you know, I know how to do, but I never actually did. It's like, that's not my job. My job is to keep this business running, keep you employed, keep customers happy, keep customers coming in.
Right.
And all of the little stuff that, you know, behind the scenes that you need to do.
Oh, running the company is crazy.
Running the company is a job in itself. But
especially in the state of New York.
Yeah, definitely. it's definitely, it's more of a, it's not just one job, it's many, many jobs.
Yeah, you wear a lot of hats as a business owner, as you figured out right from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, not to be, you know, change and keep harping on this, but I mean, what a difference coming from the corporate world where, not necessarily you're punching in and punching out, but all those little things don't come into play when you're actually, you know, got a specific job to do for a corporation. But when you're self-employed, you're not only dealing with the unemployment insurance, the FICA, the FUTA, the hiring standard, the policies. I mean, you go on and on and on. But that's a huge piece when you just start in your own company. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's the corporate world, which you're pretty much, you're guaranteed that paycheck, whether you do your job well or not. After a while, you won't get that paycheck, but you're guaranteed a paycheck.
Right.
With this, I'm not guaranteed a paycheck. My employees are, but I'm not. And that's also another thing that I guess is kind of difficult with it for a small business owner when you have as many customers as I do is maybe some of them think that I'm a large corporation because I do sell Scotts, but my only interaction with Scotts, you know Scotts.
It's the brand, yeah.
I buy fertilizer from them. That's it.
That's the only, yeah,
that's
okay.
It. Otherwise, it's, we are a mom and pop shop, to be honest. You know, this helps pay for daycare for my child and helps pay for our mortgage and whatnot, so. Yeah,
it's good. Mm-hmm. That was a good foundation then for the next leap of faith here.
Yeah. So the next leap of faith was not as difficult to make. It was a little more, I would say, enjoyable. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. I started with my business partner at Orange County Distillery.
Okay, that's right.
And as I said before, that's kind of was born during my off season when my quote unquote off season.
Yeah,
it's not quite as busy. Looking for a little more to do. I guess when you're working, 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, kind of thing.
That's what you're used to doing.
That's what you're used to doing. Then you get to the off season where it's a little slower. You're like, all right, need something to do.
Right.
So
and being idle is sometimes not a good thing for entrepreneurs.
Exactly. It's not always a good thing.
We find things that we maybe shouldn't be doing as opposed to what we should be doing.
Get yourself into trouble for sure.
Yep.
It's actually a funny story and it's very true. My business partner and I, John Glabacki of Glabacki Farms, we were at a Christmas party. My wife's, father, my father-in-law hosts a Christmas party every year and, there was alcohol involved and,
as every good party should be.
Exactly. So, he said, I got 6,000 pounds of sugar beets in my warehouse. You want to make some vodka? I was like, sure. So we talked and came up with some silly names and whatnot, just joking around. But the next day I showed up at his office and we decided to do it.
Decided to create it?
Decided to make vodkas out of sugar beets. it was a long process, but it was going well. So we decided to make the LLC, Orange County Distillery, and we decided to make it a business. And so that was December 2012 into 2013. And we got our licenses from federal and from state in April of 2014.
How was that process? I mean, both of us were talking off air before we got started here, and I remember my process was just horrendous. I mean, it took me 2 years, and this is going back to 2007, 2008, but it almost took 2 years to even get the license. It was just such an amazing, crazy, non-fruitful pursuit.
It wasn't, like I said, it took us almost a year and a half to do it, but I think that's because we did not hire an attorney, we did not hire an accountant, and we really didn't know what we needed to do. So it was a lot of us, we sat down and
trial and error,
reading stuff. What do we have to do? There's a whole bunch of different requirements that you have to go through and to provide your financial background and your criminal background, if you have any, and all this kind of stuff. And it took us quite a while to gather all that. And I think a lot of it was really, we were just kind of maybe a little afraid to submit the paperwork to the, you're in, and then what if they say you're wrong and they turn back and say, don't even try again. So we wanted to make sure everything was right.
Right from the very beginning.
Yeah. So it took probably a little longer than it needed to be. Working with the liquor authority, I think as you were referring to, used to be difficult. And everyone that we talked to warned us it was going to be difficult. They could not have been easier.
Yeah.
They were wonderful to work with.
It's funny when you say that now, because I've had some, just in the last year or so, much easier experiences. They're much more and more willing to help.
Yes. They realize, well, we're paying a lot of tax money.
Yeah.
So why not make it a little easier for us to pay that tax money? If we're not in business, we can't pay you taxes, right?
Exactly.
So I think...
Hello, New York State. Finally, somebody's getting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they have made it easier.
But your process, though, let me kind of clarify for people that are listening, though. We're not talking about opening up a bar or, in the typical sense that everybody's normally used to seeing. You're actually growing this product and then creating the product. That was obviously a different design.
Yeah, so it didn't start out, we didn't start out that way. We didn't design it that way. John's a farmer. He grows, he's a vegetable farmer.
Bucky's been around for a long time.
Yeah, they're a fifth generation farm. He's been doing it, for I guess decades now. And so he grows everything, and we decided, hey, well, since I already grow sugar beets, I'll try to make vodka out of it. I can grow corn. I can grow barley, rye. If we wanted to make whiskey, he grows botanicals. If we wanted to make gin, so he decided to grow it.
Okay.
And we quickly realized that, hey, this is something different. There's not many, if any, distilleries in New York at the time that are 100% farm to bottle grain distillery. We grow every single ingredient. We don't
buy. So you do 100%?
100%. We don't buy a single ingredient from anybody else.
Interesting. Okay.
John grows everything. So that's how it started. And now we are really 100% sticking to that. You know, it's.
That's amazing.
We're not going to veer away from that.
I think that's obviously sometimes is a lot of your appeal, though, that you're growing 100% of the ingredients here. You know where everything is coming from. It's a great marketing piece as well, right, which we'll talk about in the next segment here. But, you know, I think that's even today we talk about this, you know, this farm to market comes up quite a bit. But people are so, I mean, never mind being happy to know where your food comes from. But, mm-hmm. you know, even now we're talking about, now I know where my liquor's coming
right.
from.
Yes.
That's a whole different design.
And one thing that's really neat about that is you can actually... I guess we can get into that, but you can actually go to John's farmer's market, buy your vegetables, and then go right next door and buy your liquor from the exact same vegetables.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. And we kind of goofed this up because and people that listen to me all the time, it's like, where are you guys located in? And we always mess this up, but you're right here in Orange County.
We are in Orange County. We are in Goshen on Pulaski Highway. It's actually Maloney Lane on Pulaski Highway, which is about a mile down from Pumpkin Swamp.
Sure.
Which is the road that goes into the town of Florida.
Go by it every day.
Yes. And you probably see our signs everywhere now.
I do. And now I know I have to stop by.
please do.
I will. Well, let's. You know, we're gonna jump off here real quick. And then when we come back, we're kind of hit some of the things that being a business owner is all about and things you've obviously had to tackle when you're getting there. So this is Jim Mazzetti's American Dream. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich & Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hey, this is Joe Danz, Connect the Dots in these challenging times with my Creativity and Technology for Business and Life show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5, radio worth listening to. WTBQ,
there is some patchy areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, it will become partly to mostly sunny today and warmer with a high close to 70. Tonight, clear and cool in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and mild once again, still in the upper 60s to around 70. A clear, calm night tomorrow night down in the mid-40s and clouds and some sun on Thursday, still mild. Maybe a passing shower in the afternoon with a high in the mid-60s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Solimo.
All right, we're back. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome back to The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the entrepreneurs of Orange County. And if you're listening out there and have a good story or a story that and you want a shot to be on this air with me and kind of hopefully inspire folks that are kind of sitting on the fence here wondering if they should take the leap of faith to become their own business owner, please contact us at www.mileswealthmanagement.com. You can go to our website there and look for Nick Napo, who is my marketing director, who sets this up once every week for me to make sure I have great guests. And I have a great guest today, Brian Ensol from Orange County Distributors.
Distilleries.
Oh, yeah. We got to make sure we get that right, because Damien Distributors, Orange County Distilleries. I had a ski area once, and we used to get all our product from Damien Distributors. So it's kind of still on my tongue here. But Brian, thanks again and welcome back. And we're kind of left off talking about the distributor, this distillery, and how you got started. And why don't you give us a little reason? We know why you got it going, and what kind of motivates you to keep it going?
So, why did we get it going? John's a farmer, and I think it's a value-added product for John. For me, it did start off with that something to do in the off season. Then it's kind of turned into, I think at first it was a very expensive hobby,
They have a tendency to do that, actually.
Yeah.
The ski business was no different.
And it was one of those things where, I think our wives were supportive of it but they didn't really know what we were spending on it. And, I guess they wouldn't really ask. And then it turned into the day we opened, I don't think John and I had to put a penny back into the business, which is very nice.
It's unusual too, by the way, as you
well
know.
People say that, but I guess one of our advantages is, John grows everything. We don't have to pay for rent because we renovated a barn that's on his property. So there's some costs.
Overhead's much lower than
very low
typical.
Overhead.
Yeah.
And we're getting to that point where we've hired some employees, a full-timer and some part-timers, and we're expanding our reach into different markets and more restaurants and liquor stores and whatnot. So it is turning into an actual viable business where, it's living and breathing.
On its own.
We still have to put in a lot of work into it.
Well, that'll never stop.
But it would be nice if it was a little bit less.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
So, people ask, well, what do we do? Like John and I, what do we actually do there? We actually, from the beginning, did every single step.
Every piece.
Every single step from the growing to the mashing, the fermenting, the distilling, the bottling, the aging, the distribution.
And the distribution. Very important piece.
And the distribution. And even all the paperwork we have to file with federal and New York and taxes and all that kind of stuff. That has since changed a little bit since we brought in a full-timer to help us do production. So now it's kind of, John does all the beginning, the farming, the harvesting and whatnot. And then we do have some help in the middle. And then on the back end, I still do all the paperwork.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But I guess I'm good at it. So that's kind of why it fell into my lap. So I do all the bookkeeping and pay all the taxes, make sure all of our licenses are up to date.
Continually up
to date. Because
they do change quite a bit.
Yes.
Regulations change, and you got to be on top of that. And I think it sounds like you have a really neat relationship and an understanding with your business partner that, mm-hmm. you listen, this is what I'm good at, this is what you're good at, and let's just kind of, and trying to fill in the gaps, which I think every smart business owner does.
Yeah, we originally set up our operating agreement where basically we each have 50% power over all decisions. And luckily, we both think the same way. We have the same. We're both trying to get to the same place. We pretty much.
You're both like-minded in some way.
Like-minded, yeah. We feel like we're going to get there in the same way. And we both did realize we have our strengths and weaknesses. I can't drive a tractor. He can. I'm probably better at doing computer work because I was in insurance for 11 years and I sat at a desk for 11 years, so I can do that kind of stuff. I know how to keep myself organized and whatnot. So yeah, we did realize our strengths and weaknesses,
right. And
capitalize on it for sure. And we still both try to stay as involved as much as possible in the production part. And we still distribute, when we can. Certainly a lot more in the come December in our off season. We will be out there going to
door to door
to liquor stores and restaurants. It's a tough job going to all the restaurants, but.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah.
Now, how did you find that process? People kind of bring people up to speed here. Once you created the product and figured out how to make the product, and then, okay, well, now we got to sell the product. How'd you go about that process?
Yeah, how do we sell it? We didn't really know at first other than, we opened up our tasting room. So we have a small tasting room at the distillery itself, and it's there's glass windows, so you can, when you're in the tasting room, you can actually see into where production happens. It's not a very large barn, but people like how small it is, and they can see where we do every single thing in there. And then we also realize, well, that's not going to cut it because that you have to bring people have to come to you. So we realized we also got to get out to liquor stores and restaurants. We were actually, we don't cold call too often. We generally will call a restaurant or a bar or a liquor store ahead of time and say, hey, can we come in and
do a tasting
tasting with you? And they always say, you know, almost always say yes.
Well, all the smart business owners anyway, restaurant owners.
Yeah. The ones that realize they realize local and, you know, there are some restaurant owners and liquor store owners that obviously understand more and,
sure.
and their clientele, obviously they like the local thing more than, you know, they just want to go there for, you know, a Jack Daniels, something like that. They want something local.
Right. So, especially up in this area.
Yeah, definitely up in this area.
I mean, Warwick in Orange County in general is just really exploded with the shop local, buy local theme.
Absolutely.
And which has done very well for obviously the businesses like yourself.
Yeah, it definitely has. And so we've used that, you know, I think just the name itself, Orange County Distillery, you know, people, wow, this is our stuff. People can say it's from their county. And we do find that a lot of restaurant owners and liquor store owners, they're proud to carry our stuff.
Sure.
We'll go into some liquor stores and our stuff is right there on the front counter. Still is, ever since we sold it to them the first day.
There's a great loyalty in this area.
Yeah.
Isn't there? I mean, because again, you're talking, you know, liquor store owners, restaurant owners, these are business owners too. Mm-hmm. This isn't big box stuff that we're, you know, you're talking about Grey right. Goose and, you know, and Absolute right. and all that fun stuff. These were, it's being made in, you know, huge vats somewhere else in the part of the country or the world. This is local, homegrown, roll the dice, making it happen the same as they are every day. And they, I think they appreciate that.
Yeah, they do appreciate that. And I think they also like the fact that when we go to a tasting, they get to meet the owners, like the people that started it. It's not, we're not trying not to send representatives for us. You know, we are getting to that point where we kind of do have to. We are growing, which is good.
Well, that's a good thing.
But we do want to, John and I do try to make it a point to go out there and we're meeting the restaurant owners and the people that making the decisions to carry our stuff. And also, I think it does help that, you know, I think we do have pretty good products. People like it. People keep coming back.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? I mean, you can only get away with so much, and then eventually the product's got to stand on its own.
Exactly.
You know, you can get a door open, you can maybe keep a door open for a little bit, but eventually, especially when we're talking spirits and so on and so forth, or food for that matter, everybody will give it a shot once, mm-hmm. maybe twice. But to build loyalty and brand loyalty, it's got to be good stuff.
Yeah, and as I like to say, I can sell anyone a bottle one time. It's getting them to come back again. That's the challenge. And we do have a lot of people that keep coming back. And you know, I think we have a pretty good social following. You know, we have a pretty good presence on Facebook and Instagram. So people are following us. They like our stuff. So
and you know, let's stay on that topic. So how did you kind of fall into or figure out what was the best marketing ways for you?
Have we figured that out yet? I don't know if we have.
I don't think anybody ever has.
But
you have to give it a shot, right?
So at first, you know, we chose Facebook and our website really because, well, Facebook is free. And so we would just try to, I do most of the marketing, but I would just try to go out there and try to give everyone a step-by-step of really what we do, every single thing we do, whether it's good or bad. You know, I was walking through people through the process of how building out the barn, turning it into a distillery.
They love that stuff.
Yeah, it's really, we give not just, here's our bottle. It's everything that goes into it, every process. So people really kind of feel like they know us and they know where we're coming from. We're not a big corporation.
Right.
We are actually just a couple of guys that started a business and people, I think, like that. So
they love that. I mean, I think people in general love, again, that's what we call the American dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so they always love the underdog, and there's nothing more of an underdog than the typical entrepreneur or businessman that's out there trying to, who's created an idea and then decides to take it and make it a business out of it.
Yeah.
And they love that. And obviously you figured out a good way to capitalize on it and grow it from there.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, at first we didn't have a budget for marketing and advertising. So it was just Facebook and our website. And then, so now we're slowly getting out there. You know, we're advertising in some in local magazines like Dirt Magazine and...
that's a great idea.
The Valley Table, the Hudson Valley Mag, Hudson Valley Wine Mag. But we're also getting a lot of free press, I guess. Some of these magazines like to write about us. I think Valley Table's a big fan of us. They've written a few articles about us already. So we're realizing we gotta spend money on the advertising to kind of get a little further, more exposure.
That's what my guys tell me all the time.
Yeah.
I keep spending money on advertising.
It's one of those things you're like, ah, oh, it's a big check. I don't want to write that, but
it's outrageous.
You don't see the immediate return on it.
No.
Right.
It's very hard to, at least in my experience, it's been very hard to figure out, what's working and what's not working. Mm-hmm. And your side of it, much more, obviously it's retail. You're right. In retail side of this thing. So pictures are great for you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
On the wealth management side, nobody wants to see a spreadsheet.
Right.
But we do impact lives, obviously, in a big way.
Right.
But I mean, so you got from Facebook to do you use Instagram?
Yeah, we use Instagram. Okay. And that was at the suggestion of a local brewery, Rushing Duck. They had said,
great brewery, by the way.
Yeah, I like them a lot. They had said their biggest social exposure is Instagram. And I was like, I never even thought about that. I'll try it. So it's turned out pretty well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I always think of Instagram, I guess I'm in my 40s, so I always think it's much younger. My daughter uses it, and she's 13 or 4. Yeah, she's 14.
Yeah.
But I think it's really grown.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before, you can't really measure the impact that it has, but you can, I guess you can be one of those people that looks at how many likes you get, you know,
sure.
Or if there's any comments or pictures of you. And I guess it's really all you can use to measure how people are you still on people's radar? Are people still paying attention to you? I mean, that's all you can really do with social media is try to
that's a good
grab
point.
People's attention and
right.
make sure at least they still know you're around.
Stay in front of them.
Not too much, though. That's one thing. So you don't want to, I feel like you don't want to be out there posting every single day kind of thing.
It's interesting. And I think, you know, when we talk about this, everybody's got their different views on what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And I think that's a good point. There's some of the opinion that you got to have something out there every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's others that, listen, I don't want them to block me.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is I block or I've stopped following some businesses that every day. It's like, okay, I get it, you know?
You're right. Thank you. I don't need to see you every time in the morning I wake up and there's your blog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. And you know, how did you get to that? Is just an experience thing, you think?
Yeah, it's still learning.
It's still learning.
Just play it by ear kind of thing. And, you know, one thing that is interesting about the whole Facebook, Instagram, social media thing is sometimes I don't have a creative drop in my body and I can't think of anything. I can't even think of a picture to put up. And
I know. It's so
it's
hard.
It's tough. It's like, you know, a week
can
go by,
Nick.
It's like, geez, I need to think of something to put up. Just put a picture of the cat up.
Anything.
Which we do.
Right.
You know, people like our cat.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Is that the mascot?
Yeah, he's become our mascot for sure.
That's
he's
fantastic.
Got quite a following. So. So he helps when we have those creative ruts.
Well, you know, you kind of talk about that. You mean, so you and your partner, I guess we were pulling from the strengths and the weaknesses and knowing where you kind of fit best work together. When you decided to bring an employee in,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big decision.
It was a big decision. And this one really just kind of happened. This employee had come in because he'd heard we malt our own barley. Just wanted to see what we did. And I showed it to him and he asked all these questions and I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't, there's a lot of stuff we just do it. I don't understand the entire science behind it, but it works. So he's asking all these questions and, you know, I said, you know what? You want to come in part-time? So we started coming in part-time. And after a while, John and I had realized that we're at that point where we need to have more supply, but we also need more demand, but we can't.
You can only go so far. Right.
We had capped ourselves based on what John and I can do, both trying to run our own businesses. Because I think we hired him in maybe June or July, so we were right in the middle of our busy seasons with our other businesses.
Right.
So we brought him on, and it made total sense. He's a good worker, and you know, we try to get him involved in every process as much as possible.
And I think this happens a lot of time, sometimes by happen chance, right? So he comes in and he shares the same vision and obviously the same passion.
Yeah. So it really just kind of happened, but yeah, he was smart. He's had the same kind of vision we did, and John and I, we both got along with him.
Okay.
So
that's key, obviously.
We had plenty of resumes thrown at us, even when we weren't looking. People are always, you know, throwing stuff out there. Yeah. And, you know, never really pursued those, but this one just kind of happened.
It worked.
It worked out. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more and make sure we don't forget to mention your website and everything else we deal with. This is the Jim Mazzetti at the American Dream. I'm here at Brian Ensel from Orange County Distillery. Talk to you soon.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is Marina Case, principal designer of the Red Shutters in downtown Warwick. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon and join me for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ. And we're back once again. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream. Remember, we are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 interviewing the best and the brightest Orange County entrepreneurs. I am lucky enough to have one of them today, Brian Ensol from Orange County Distillery, and having a very cool, nice mellow conversation about, you know, what it takes to start your business, run your business, and grow your business. And your story is not unlike many other stories we've heard on the show, but I always find, you know, and I'm lucky enough to interview you guys, everybody has their own little way of doing it. And as my father said, you know, every cripple has his own way of hopping and his own Irish way. But it's been quite a road, but what a very cool experience. And like you, like myself, you learn every day. Right, and you got to be able to make adjustments on the fly. There's no set in stone way to run a business, and I think that's kind of an important message for anybody's out there as well. You got to be ready to adapt and make decisions on the fly.
Yeah, things change every day. Whether it's, you know, a personal life, I've got two children and a wife, and I got a family, so I got to make sure taking care of them. But also, I got two businesses I got to juggle. And you know, that's two other families basically that I got to try to juggle.
You're so right too.
So yeah, you gotta be on the, you gotta be able to adjust every day. And I guess, you know, one of the, we talked about offline was, one of the tough things to do is showing up to work every day. When you're the boss, you almost don't have to, but on the other hand, you do have to be there more than your employees do.
Correct. You're leading
by example.
Sure.
So yeah, there are certainly occasions where I will show up a little bit late or not come in the morning before the guys get out on the road. Not too often though, because I got to set the example. You know, you can only ignore stuff for so long. You know, that paperwork has got to be done, the bills got to be paid, and
it doesn't go away, does it?
Doesn't go away. Taxes got to be paid. Yeah, you
know, right.
Exactly. So
you bring up a point, and I'm not going to let you off escape with that. But you know, we talk about this with business owners quite a bit. Is you know, trying to have some kind of balance in your life. And it is not easy. And I tell anybody who's going to start their own business, you better, that thought, or at least the beginning years anyway, the very beginning, that thought of having your time as your own and I'll make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is tough. But I guess for my viewpoint, my wife has been very supportive. She has taken it upon herself to take care of the children when she has to. She does want me there as much as I can be, but she also understands I got stuff that has to be done. But you know, I don't miss soccer games for my older son. You know, I try to do my share, but yeah, it's right. tough to juggle. And but you know, I always, as I tell my employees, you know, family comes first. So you gotta,
and it does
when it comes to push to shove, family comes first.
And it's a bonus. I mean, I've been lucky enough as well to. You know, and I think this is kind of a point we'll kind of hit here as a business owner. it's not like the work goes away. I mean, you either get it done first thing in the morning or you come back after that soccer game.
Right.
But it's still got to get done because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, and a lot of that work is just annoying, busy work. You know,
yeah.
The bills you got to, you know, the emails you got to respond to and the voicemails and, yeah, it's a lot of busy stuff. It's not like, not the fun, sexy stuff. You pay your taxes and make sure you're doing all your filings on time. And yeah, it's stuff you can put into a pile, like, but as you said, but it'll still be there.
That pile's still there. It never goes away.
It's not the fun pile. You got to keep doing it.
Tell us a little bit more about, so how many products do you have currently now?
For Orange County Distillery, yeah. We have a sugar beet vodka, a gin, a corn whiskey, a bourbon, unaged single malt, and very, very soon, if not this week or next, we will have our aged single malt, which is basically a scotch.
Very interesting.
And we also have an aged rye, which will be released very soon as well. And we are working on the label for what we're calling a honey corn whiskey, which is aging up. As well. So I would say within 6 months, we'll have eight.
Eight and products.
Currently we have five, and within maybe a couple of weeks, we'll have seven. And within 6 months, I think we'll have number eight.
How difficult is it to figure out what the right label is going to be on those things? Talk about the creativeness, which is difficult.
Yeah, the creating the labels itself in the beginning was actually pretty stressful because we wanted it to be that perfect look of kind of modern versus the old. You know, farm, it's got a farm wood kind of look to it, the label itself. So people have responded very well to it. We get comments all the time. People love it. You know, I always say you have 1 second to grab someone's attention when you're talking about a product. And if
that's
they don't
key.
Like it, then they're moving on. So
right.
You could have the best product in a bottle. But, you know, if someone's looking at, you know, all these other local bourbons on a shelf and they don't like the label, they're not going to buy it.
No.
Unless word of mouth, obviously. But, yeah, so that was very important for us because it goes hand in hand with how do you sell it. Well, we got to also have, besides a good product, got to have a good-looking product.
It's got to have, like you said, it's got to grab your attention in 2 seconds flat, and it's got to stick out from everything else that's on the same shelf.
Right.
And that's not a simple process, and, you know, one of the things I struggle with on constantly, and that's why we have, well, kind of talked about this before, that's why I have the creative people in my office, like Nick Knappel, to actually figure these things out. You know, but you know you're lucky enough. You got a great product. You got and obviously you're expanding it constantly.
And
how did that come about?
So in New York, since we are a farm distillery, we're allowed to open up what's called a branch location. And at that branch location, we can obviously serve our own stuff as well. But we're also allowed to serve anything that's considered a New York State labeled product. So we can serve other New York beers, ciders, wines, and even other spirits. People ask us, why would you do that? We say, well, why not? There's a lot of good stuff up here.
Fantastic. Exactly.
And it's a good business model. It's a good way for us to bring in extra revenue. But so we are basically opening up what we're calling the OCD at Brown Barn. It's at Brown Barn Farms on Maple Avenue. And
where is that, in Goshen?
It's actually, it's pretty much Goshen, but right across the border into New Hampton. Like, I think the border of New Hampton, Goshen is right down the street.
Okay.
So it's going to be a bar-like atmosphere. We'll have seating in there, and we'll be serving, you know, I think we have right now 7 New York beers and 5 New York wines. I think we have currently about 25 New York spirits. We have a couple ciders.
Wow.
And that's on 23 acres of farmland, which we're going to be turning into almost like an adult playground. We're going to be putting a deck out there and maybe some volleyball courts, stuff like that.
Adult playground?
Yeah, we've already had a couple weddings there and some parties. And so, it's going to be a pretty cool little place to go to, hang out for the day.
How'd you go about finding that location? I mean, we go through this quite a bit. I mean, I talk to people all the time, and did you stumble upon it? You're actively looking for a place?
No, so actually my partner and his wife bought that piece of property, and they had been eyeing it for years, and somehow they made it happen, I think back in April or May, something like that. And their vision was to turn it into a farmer's market, but also on the back end of the barn, we're putting in OCD at Brown Barn. So it's a
good
farmer's market,
yep.
and the New York tasting room. It's kind of hits both businesses pretty well. You know, get the farmer's market on the front end, and then the New York tasting room on the back end. And,
well, it's another way to bring, you're appealing to that many more people.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's always an important piece too. Like, and you brought up a good point before. People are like, well, why would I dare serve somebody else's stuff? Well, you know, because it may appeal to somebody else, and you may, you know, you'll get that client that you may not have had.
Yeah.
Because of it.
So we're going to have, you know, 7 products.
Ciders
and,
as well.
And cider. I'm sorry, I was talking about just our stuff.
Oh yeah.
We have 7 spirits of our own that we make, and we're not dumb. We realize not everyone likes everything of ours. We like it all, and we know some people think it's wonderful, but someone might like a different gin better than ours, or they might like our gin better than someone else's.
Right.
So it's good for us to show the different options. Hey, well, you know, if you don't like this gin, try this one, or our gin is better than theirs, you know?
Yeah. Again, so, make sure you're appealing to everybody.
Right? Gotta appeal to everyone.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. So,
very cool. Now, do you have a website? Do you use a website?
Yes.
Have you figured out how to use that to your advantage or disadvantage?
It's www.orangecountydistillery.com, all one word. We've gotten good response on that. People like it. We built that ourselves.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Okay, you didn't have to go out on contract and spend $100,000 for somebody to make this thing.
Most things John and I have done ourselves that you see, other than the label, we did hire a graphic designer to make that as presentable as it is. otherwise, yeah, we did the website ourselves. We try to get as much information on there as well. But I'd say that if you really want current, up-to-date information about us, you know, what's going on, it's really Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where a majority of your concentration is.
On the day-to-day basis. You know, like I was saying before, you can be in a creative rut, and all of a sudden you see a bottle on a shelf, and it looks, got the sunset in it perfectly. Oh, that's a good shot. Take a picture with your phone, put it on Facebook. Creative.
It's there.
Creative job done for the day. So,
which I struggle with on regular. Yes. We got to do something, you know, nifty out there. How do we get that message out there? And exactly. What are we going to put out there? And it's half the time. Sometimes it just comes to you. Sometimes you got to, you know, struggle over what you're going to do on it. To use your website, can people buy your product and have it shipped to them? You have to actually physically show up and get
it. So one of the limitations, one of the very few limitations of a farm distillery in New York, is that we cannot ship our stuff, our liquor, directly to anybody.
Okay.
We can self-distribute. We can deliver it ourselves, and we actually do work with a couple of liquor stores where they can mail it. So if you go to our website, you can click on the link, and it'll take you to a website where you can buy it. Otherwise, we do list every place that we are sold at on our website, all the restaurants and liquor stores. I think I have to update that with a few as of recently.
Well, because you got to keep growing it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pretty neat. What do you have coming up? Is there anything neat coming up here that we should be aware of?
Well, we are not quite officially, we are open at OCD at Brown Barn. I think we're going to be having our official grand opening this weekend, we hope.
Well, the weather looks like it's going to be nice too, I think.
Yes.
Which is key.
Yes. So, other than that, we're just trying to
make it all happen.
Trying to create as much as possible because we're selling a lot on the weekends. So, we spend all week trying to recover and make more.
Okay. Now, what kind of process is that? I mean, we were talking about it briefly, and I don't want to waste too much time about it. I mean, it's not like you can just whip up a batch and have it ready tomorrow.
No, we actually do have a chart, a calendar, that we, chart out everything that we have to do for the week in order to make something happen. You know, we're going to do 4 or 5 cooks this week in order for us to do maybe like a corn whiskey next week or to barrel over a bourbon next week. It's, you have to think in advance.
Way in advance.
We are small, and so we don't have hundreds of our bourbon barrels or rye barrels or aged single malt barrels sitting. But, you know, we do try to fill them as fast as possible, and then we have them all charted out. And when can we release this one? When can we release that one? Because it seems like almost as soon as we release a barrel, it sells out. Yeah. So
it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. It's a great problem to have. But I would also just love to be able to flood the market with our bourbon. You know, we have liquor stores and places asking for a case here and there that they want to sell there. And it's like, sorry, we just sold out.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'll get you the next time. But, yeah, it's not a bad problem to have.
No. And you handle all your own distribution as well. You have your guys driving, delivering, and so on and so forth.
And that's by design right now because, you know, we've talked to a lot of people before that, you know, they said don't rush into signing with a distributor until you feel comfortable yourself. But I think what our model might be for quite a while is we can just hire a couple people to drive around in a truck.
Why not? Right.
And pay them that way. So, yeah, you know, that's one of those things. You got
learning experiences. Learning experience.
Exactly.
Right.
It's learn as the business grows. We got to have to adapt to it.
Right. Well, listen, I don't want to cut you off here, but I know we're going to run out of time, and this man behind us off the glass here will just cut me off. So this is Jim Mazzetti. It's the American Dream. I've been very lucky enough to have Eric here from Orange County Distillery, and please look them up and give us that website real quick here.
OrangeCountyDistillery.com.
Thank you, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.